الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وقائدنا وحبيب قلوبنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة لعلكم تشكرون. أطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. Any human relation, whether it is between two neighbors, between parents and their children, between brothers and their siblings, between spouses, has to have certain key elements and ingredients to reach maturity and fulfillment. And tonight, in my third presentation about successful marriage in Islam, I'm going to address you, my dear brothers and sisters, with the essential ingredients of an Islamic marriage, a marriage that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a marriage that pleases the Anbiya and the Prophet and our Imams, a marriage that leads a stable life, productive life, fruitful life. Number one ingredient in such marriage is to be forgiving, to have the ability to pardon your partner when he or she commits a mistake, to appreciate and realize the meaning of forgiveness and the rewards of forgiveness, to be forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a perfect God, created imperfect man. Wallahu akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a. In our physical creation, we are perfect. Huwa alladhi yusawwirukum fil arhami kayfa yasha'. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ, in another verse, أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Your physical shape is the best. is the top. But when it comes to the spiritual dimension, the moral dimension, we are not perfect yet. We have been designed and we have been meant to learn and grow and walk on the path of perfection. But we are not born perfect. And someone who is imperfect has mistakes and errors and faults. And therefore, forgiveness is an important part of your marital life. If you don't forgive, you can't enjoy marital life. You will turn it into a big suffering for yourself and your family members. Forgiveness is important here. And we learn, if we forgive, we learn something and we teach our partners something else. There is a double reward in forgiveness. Philosophers tell us that suffering in this life is necessary and key element for human growth. Therefore, they argue that every individual in this life, whether religious or non-religious, whether believer or non-believer, has to suffer, somehow has to suffer in this life. Has to go through loss, pain, calamities, difficulties, suffering, because suffering is important for the perfection of the human personality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Certainly we're going to try you with some of fear, danger, loss of lives, loss of properties, loss of fruits and food. At the end, give glad tidings to those who forbear, to those who exercise steadfastness. وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا. They remember Allah right away. At the time of a tragedy, the first thing you remember in this life, when something wrong happens at home, what do you do the first thing? When someone gets wounded or injured, what do? You call the ambulance. I think in this country you call 999, yes? Yes? But don't do that, huh? Allah says those who are befallen with affliction and tragedies, they call the real emergency center. قالوا, they remember Allah. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Such people are going to enjoy the reward. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. If you have steadfastness, patience, endurance, you bear the pain, you're going to enjoy the fruits. No pain, no gain. You have to endure the pain. And Quran tells us that the reward that you receive from Allah, the salvation and the success that you receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depends on your response and your reaction to life's misfortunes. Allah reserves His success, His reward, the thawab for you, monitoring you and seeing how you react to life's misfortunes. If you react in a positive way, in a religious way, in a moral way, and that is patience, then you're going to succeed. Otherwise, you're going to fail. Another verse in Surah Al-Baqarah tells us, remind us, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. They were touched, past communities before you, past nations, they were touched by distress, affliction, misfortune, مستهم البأساء والضراء, and they were violently shaken. Powerful jolt. At the Richter scale, it could be 9 point something. وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. The answer is, if you withstand and persevere, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. You receive God's triumph and victory. The Quran says here, your reaction to your misfortunes and the calamities that you experience in this life is going to determine your place in the hereafter. You want to choose a place for yourself there? Look how you react to the misfortunes and the test in this life. Going back to forgiveness. Forgiveness is important in the marriage. We all have errors and mistakes. Yet, some of us, we realize our mistakes soon. And we try to amend them and rectify them. Others, it takes them a while to realize that they did something wrong. And for some, they would never realize forever. Whatever they do in this life, they never realize that they did something wrong. I feel sorry for them. You know why? Because Allah says in the Quran, some people, they live the world of illusion, fantasy. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنَعًا. His entire life is a life of illusion. He thinks he's doing well. He thinks that he's on the right path. Unfortunately, after 70 years, he may and he may not realize that he was mistaken. He was following the wrong direction. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. They think that they do good, but they are the most losers. الْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. We have to realize our mistakes. It's a gift. One of God's biggest gift for us is to make me realize my errors and mistakes. Through my self-reproaching soul, النفس اللوامة, لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. When I go home, when I do something bad today, and I go home, and I'm about to sleep, my nafs, my self-reproaching soul comes to me, tell me, wake up before you sleep. Do you realize what you did today? Do you realize how many people you offended today? Do you realize how many hearts you broke today? This is an-nafs al-lawwama. If I am a lucky person, I will respond. I will say, yes, I did. And the first thing I'm going to do tomorrow morning is to go and apologize and rectify and amend and pay the compensation. But if I am not lucky, I will say, no, I didn't do anything wrong. Those people, they deserve it. And I'm going to do this again and again and again. This is arrogance. This is the biggest loss. So, for those who realize soon and rectify, those are the successful people. Now you may tell me, Sayyid, my husband did a great damage to me. You ask me to forgive him. He ruined my life. He ruined my future. He destroyed my life. How do you expect me to forgive him? I can't forgive him. Whenever I remember what he did to me for 2 years, 4 years, 10 years, 50 years, I can't. I can't sleep the night. I'm suffering because of him today. My answer is, this is exactly why I want you to forgive your husband. You know why? Because the meaning of forgiveness, what is forgiveness? Real forgiveness. When you forgive someone completely, nothing stays in your heart against him. Forgiveness besides bringing inner peace and reconciliation and make people go back to each other, it breeds mercy. Forgiveness breeds mercy. Forgiveness, if you forgive your partner who did damage to you for many years, whether he's a husband or wife, if you forgive him, your capacity for mercy and compassion is going to grow and get bigger and bigger. Therefore, you're going to get relieved. You're going to get relieved. You are not going to suffer. You know why you are suffering and you are upset all the time and you are depressed? Because you are not ready to forgive your partner. The moment you decide to cleanse your heart, clean it from any grudge. Because in Islam, marriage is not based on retaliation and payback. This is not Islamic marriage. Yes, maybe in the West, marriage is based on payback. She was telling me the other day, I saw him with another girl. I went home. I was dressed to kill. This is what she says. I was dressed to kill. I went and I found the hottest guy in the market. I went with him. And then I came home and I told my friend the story. And I enjoyed looking him sad, looking at his face. This is a grudge. This is hostility. This is a craziness. This is not marriage. This is not marriage. This is not a normal human relationships. Even animals don't do this. Allah says, your capacity for compassion and mercy will grow if you forgive. Malik al-Ashtar, the commander in chief of the armed forces of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. The leader of all armed forces, while he was walking in the marketplace in Kufa, an irresponsible man, he throws something at him. He pelts him with, I think, dates, seed or something like that, not realizing that this is someone important in the government, in the military. Malik walks away. He never turned his face to see what happened. The shopkeepers in the market, they come to this man. They tell him, you are doomed. You know what you did? You know the man? You stoned him? You pelted him? He said, no, I don't know him and I don't care. They said, you don't care? He's Malik al-Ashtar. He's going to burn your house, destroy you and your family. The man was terrified. The man left his shop. He went running after Malik. Asked the people. They told him Malik went inside the central mosque, Masjid al-Kufa. He went after him. He was standing for the salat. When he finished his prayers, the man comes and throws himself at his feet and says, Malik, wallahi, I did not realize that you are Malik al-Ashtar. Forgive me, please. I was stupid. Malik tells him, wallahi, ma ji'tu ila al-masjid illa li-usalli wa astaghfirullah lak. I came to seek. I have forgiven you. Not only that, I came to the masjid to ask Allah also to forgive you. This is Islam. This is beautiful man. This man has full of peace. This man is always happy in his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Quraysh were stoning him, he will forgive them and ask Allah to forgive them too. Allahumma ihdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. He never held any grudge in his heart, any hatred, any hostility against his community. While his community was mistreating him, wronging him. But he's the Prophet of Rahmah. Khadija tells him, Ya Rasulullah, halla da'awta Allah alayhim. Why don't you ask, invoke your God's curse upon those wicked people? He says to her, Ya Khadija, lam ub'ath la'anan wa innama bu'ithtu rahmatan lil alameen. My mission is about mercy and compassion and forgiveness. Ali ibn Abi Talib, when Ibn Muljam stands before him, after striking the Imam, they brought him before the Imam dies. Imam Ali feels sorry for him. Do you know, my brothers and sisters, that if you have a bad relationship with someone and you decide to forgive that person, if your forgiveness is genuine, you're going to feel sorry for him. Not only sorry, you're going to try to help that person. You feel sorry for him. You sympathize with him. Why? Because you have a genuine heart. On the other hand, for the unforgiving person, for someone who does not want to forgive, you know what happens to you? I tell you what happens to you. When you decide not to forgive your partner in the marriage, your capacity for hatred, for detachment and separation will grow. Day by day, you're going to hate that person more and more and more. Not only that, you are not going to have inner peace. You are not going to have a peaceful night. In some countries, millions of people use sleeping pills because they have problems with others. They don't have peace. They don't have peace of mind. Are you going to see nightmares? You're not going to enjoy your sleep. You may tell me why. My partner, he wronged me, and now God is punishing me too. God is not punishing you. You know what happens? Because this heart was intended to be the center of love and compassion. See? When God created the heart, He intended for the heart to be the center of good relationships, of understanding, of love and compassion. The heart is created for a specific person, like my glasses here. This is so I can see you. If I want to use my glasses as screwdriver to open this door with it, I'm going to break it. It is not intended for that. So neither the door will be opened, nor I can see you anymore. The heart is intended for peace and mercy and forgiveness. If you want to put hostility, jealousy, hatred here, the heart is going to break. And if the heart breaks, the heart is going to dysfunction. And if the heart dysfunctions, you can't sleep the night. A man who survived to the age of 120 years old. They came to him, they asked him, "Oh man, tell us what sort of diet you have, what sort of food you eat, what sort of exercise you do. Tell us, let's learn. We want to live like you, healthy." He said, "My diet is, do you want to know about my diet? تَرَكْتُ الْحَسَدَ فَبَقِيتُ. I cleansed my heart of jealousy and envy. This is how I survived. I eat the same food like you, but I keep my heart clean." Your heart is the center of reaching there. Do not pollute it with grudge. Clean it. This is why forgiveness is important in the marriage. By God who created me and you, if you don't learn forgiveness, your marriage is not going to survive. Your marriage is not going to survive. Try to overlook. Try to forget. Try not to hold a grudge. Try to teach rather than punishing your wife or your husband. Try to teach him or her. Don't tell me I did. It didn't work. How long it takes you to go to learn? How many years you spend in the school? 1 or 2 years? You spend 12 years and then you go to university and then you do your master's and then you do your doctorate and then you do your postdoctorate. And still you learn nothing. It takes you 20 years, but still you are a student. We learn. We learn from our mistakes. So this is one point. Forgiveness. Learn forgiveness. Forgive each other. And if we have in our session tonight, some people
who are not enjoying good relationship with their partners and spouses, go and learn to use forgiveness with your partner. فَعْفُوا وَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَخْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. This is number one. Number two, the most important ingredient in your marriage is having communication skills, having good ears to listen to each other. The first step to understand each other is to be able to listen to each other. Some husbands are willing, if they speak to a stranger lady, they are willing to speak to her for 5 hours. But if you tell him to speak to your wife, he can't speak with her for 5 minutes. They don't have that capacity. You have to listen. وَتَعِيَهَا أُذُنٌ وَاعِيَةٌ. You have to force yourself to listen to the other side, to listen to her or his frustration and pain. To listen. The ignorant people are the people who don't want to listen, decline to listen. رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ. They don't want to listen. Those people are ignorant. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. First, you have to listen. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ. You have to listen. If you are not willing to listen, you are not going to survive. Your marriage is not going to survive. You have to listen. And never assume that you are always right and your partner is wrong. So whatever he or she say to you is wrong. So you don't want to listen. Never assume that. Give yourself a chance. Today, if you speak on the cell phone with your sweetheart and the cell phone does not have good reception, and you are involved in a very beautiful conversation, and you can't hear your friend very well, would you get irritated or not? You get irritated. Because you want to listen clearly to every word he says. Listening is important. You have to pay attention to your partner. Listen. When they speak, listen. Listening is a virtue. Allah says in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لا تعلمون شيئا. And then when he enumerates his blessings on us, he begins with what? With what? What sense? وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ السَّمْعَ. In order for you to grow and learn, you have to listen. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفِيدَ. Number three ingredient in the marriage is to avoid being stubborn and hard-headed. Don't be arrogant with your partner. Be humble always. Try to open up to new ideas, to change yourself. Never assume that you are perfect and nobody can change you today. You want to change people. You don't want people to change you. Open up to any idea. If the idea is good, listen to it and try to change. Do not create for yourself some formidable laws. Do not idealize and sanctify your opinion and think you are always right and make for yourself formidable laws and you follow them and you try to force your wife or your husband to follow them. Don't do that. Don't share your fondness of the food that you like, or the dress that you like, or the color that you like, or the place that you like, or the hobby that you have. Don't force it on your partner. Marriage is about understanding. You can't force your wife to eat the food that she doesn't like, or to wear the dress that she does not like. You can't do that. She's a free human being. I know a friend in North America. He married an American lady and she converted to Islam. So he started teaching her about Islam. One day he came to me, he said, "Sayyid, alhamdulillah, my wife now is a complete Muslim." I said, Alhamdulillah, wonderful. He said, Sayyid, imagine, I taught her to eat with her hand. I said, did she eat before with her feet? He said, no, Sayyid, I taught her to eat not with a spoon, with her hand, with her finger. I said, MashaAllah, this is perfect Islam, Alhamdulillah. This is Islam. Islam today, what is Islam? Islam, if you ask any English, Islam is to wear dishdasha, mini skirt dishdasha, you know, with the kufi, with the goatee beard, and shave your mustache, and go stand in Trafalgar Square and shout, Allahu Akbar! This is Islam, Alhamdulillah. What else? I told him, you are crazy. Because Allah does not want you to teach your wife to eat with her hands. This is not the spirit of Islam, to eat with your hand. The spirit of Islam is the akhlaq, the manner. Teach her the principles of Islam. Teach her about forgiveness, about peace. Teach her about nearness to Allah. This is the spirit of Islam. Don't try to force what you like, your own customs, your own traditions back home. Bring it here and force it on your partner and tell her, because my great-grandmother, she did this, you have to do this. Your great-grandmother, she lived back home in Umm al-Agariq. You are living here in London. It's different. The customs are different. The time is different. The circumstances are different. So don't be stubborn. Try to learn. Especially for the husbands, do not consider yourself since you are older than your wife, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, you have more wisdom. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Wisdom has nothing to do, by the way, with education, huh? You may find someone who has the best degree from the best university, but he's dumb. He's stupid. And you have someone who barely has elementary school education, but he's sage, he's wise, he's a prudent, he's a reasonable person. Has nothing to do with education. So we can learn from each other, brothers and sisters. This is number 3, yes? Number 4. Number 4, marriage is about sharing. For those who are writing, write this, sharing. It is customary that when people get married in the West, they open joint account in the bank. They put both names on the account, on the property, if they buy a property, for instance. Islam says you have to do one more thing. Not only to share the property and the money and the bank account, you also have to share the pain of each other. The happiness of each other. You have to support, you have to provide with emotional support. Allah says in the Quran about marriage, Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahunna. You protect each other. Sharing. Share not only your money, share your aspirations, your dreams, share your goals in this life. Share the fate in this life. Be together. خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. Share these things together. Marriage is about sharing. It's about sharing all the pain together. If your wife, she's not feeling good today, you have to stay at home. I respected an honorable man the other day. Very honorable man. Honorable scholar, honorable alim, when his wife, she was sick and she became blind because of sickness. He stayed at home. People told him, Mawlana, you have to go out, you have to work, you have to spread Islam here and there. He said, I have a human being with me who shared 50 years of her life with me. Now she's in need to me. I have to stay and help her and serve her. He stayed at home, this honorable scholar. He stayed at home with his wife and he was serving her. He was cooking food. He was cleaning her. He stayed at home. Marriage is about sharing. This is the real marriage. What else? Marriage is about respecting and honoring your wife and your husband. Avoid disrespecting her. Avoid belittling your partner, devaluing him or her, disrespecting them, degrading them. Avoid scorning them, deriding them. لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء. The husband who comes home and he wants to put his wife down always, always, always he wants to put his wife down. He comes home, he says, my mother's food is so delicious. I went to my sister's house, she has so good cooking. Only your food is bad, tasteless. You are putting her down. You think she would learn? She would never learn. She would never learn. When you look at the faults and the errors, rather than degrading, chiding the person, try to encourage. Try to overlook. Try to show the right way. The wife who comes to her husband and tell him, everybody in town is better than you. Everybody is doing good. You are the only one who is doing bad. This is not encouragement. He would never change. He will keep doing bad. And she's going to suffer. The mother who disrespects the father before the kids at home, in fact, she is disrespecting herself. You think if you disrespect his father before the kids, they're going to respect the mother? They're not going to respect their mother. First, they're going to put their father down, disrespect him today, and tomorrow it is the turn of the mother. They're going to disrespect their mother. If you have a problem with him, if you have a quarrel, I'm not saying we can't quarrel. حَتَّى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ كَانَ يَغْضَبْ. Even the Prophet. حَتَّى تَحْمَرُّ وَجْنَتَاهِ. Even the Prophet himself, he would get angry. The Prophet, at some points, he had in his house several partners. One of them will do something bad, evil, rude. He gets angry. But after a second, Allah says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. To forgive, forget immediately and forgive and curse the shaitan. Before you say anything, before you do anything, curse the shaitan. Be careful of your attitude when you are angry. Be careful. الْغَضَبُ ضَرْبٌ مِنَ الْجُنُونَ. Part of retardation. One of branches of junoon and madness. When you become angry, be very careful. So that person, if you have a problem with that person, with your partner, with your husband, don't solve your problems before your kids, in front of your kids. Don't do that in public. In public, you have to respect your partner. When you go home, enter the bedroom, when you are together in the bedroom, tell him, Allawi, come here. In fact, Islam teaches us that we don't call our partners with their first name. We use a nickname. Abu Fulan, Abu Ali, Abu Muhammad, Abu Mus'ab al-Zarqawi. Don't use the first name. This is what Aisha said. Aisha said, sometimes in public I will say Ya Rasulallah, but when I'm in private with him, I say Ya Muhammad. She's his wife. In the bedroom, there are different rules, exceptions. In the bedroom, call him Hammoudi Allawi. But in public, you have to honor your husband and you have to honor your wife. You have to honor. This is part of respect. So respect, brothers and sisters. Do not put your partner down. Don't. You know what the hadith says? مَنْ أَحْزَنَ مُؤْمِنًا ثُمَّ أَعْطَاهُ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ يَكُنْ ذَلِكَ كَفَّارَتُهُ وَلَمْ يُؤْجَرْ عَلَيْهِ. Our great Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you offend a believer, true believer, then you come back to him, giving him in compensation the whole dunya, the whole world in compensation. Still He did not do good. Still you did not compensate him. Still you are guilty in the eyes of Allah. Because you broke his heart in public. You offended him. Try to respect the mu'mineen. This is the spirit of Islam. You know, brothers and sisters, the main cause of depression. You know what is the main cause of depression? The main cause of depression is domestic problems at home. When the husband abuses his wife and the wife abuses her husband. It is not about rainy weather, cloudy skies. It's not about the disappearance of the sun. The disappearance of the sun, why people get depressed. It is about the disappearance of compassion and care and akhlaq in the families. This is why people get depressed. This is the main reason for depression. What else? Two more to go. What number we are? Hajji Amir, are you following us? Five? Four? No, I would say six. We go to number six. Number six is you have to realize before you get married, you have to realize that marriage is the institution of hard working and sacrifice. Hard working. It is not the institution of laziness and idleness. Sit at home and do nothing. You're going to be a father. You are a husband and you're going to be a father. You are a wife today, tomorrow you're going to be a mother. You have a responsibility. It's an institution of commitment and responsibility. If you are a husband, you are responsible. You should realize that you are the main breadwinner in the family. You have to go to work early in the morning. You can't stay at home. Today I don't like the weather, I'm staying at home watching football. You can't do this. You are responsible. إن من الذنوب ما لا يغفرها إلا الهموم في طلب المعيشة. There are sins that human beings commit that nothing can wash them away or erase them unless you struggle and you suffer to bring food home. You struggle. إلا الهموم في طلب المعيشة. Allah wants you to struggle, to exhaust yourself. Not by standing for prayers. Allah says this would not erase your sins. I want to see you working hard. Working hard for your family, for your kids, for your community. Then I am going to be ready to forgive you. إِلَّا الْهُمُومْ فِي طَلَبِ الْمَعِيشَةِ. So you have to be responsible at home. And if you are a wife and you get married, marriage is not always honeymoon. Marriage is not always five-star hotel. Marriage is not always you call the reception and ask for dinner and a breakfast to your room. You have to come back, alhamdulillah, safe and sound from honeymoon. Arrive home. The following day you have to stand for work. You have to take care of your house. You know, some of these homes, when you go inside them, it's a big mess. She doesn't want to work. She wants to lay on the couch and watch TV, flip the channels. She doesn't want to do anything. No food, no cleaning. Your house has to be clean, has to be beautiful, presentable. A man comes to me, he tells me, Sayyid, since I married my wife, she learned everything. She learned music, she learned dancing, she learned, you know, boating and fishing and everything in this life. Except cooking. She learned everything. She learned hiking, how to hike the mountains, how to sail. She learned dancing very well, mashallah. But when it comes to food, she says, no, Habibi, I can't learn. This is laziness. This is irresponsibility. This is not a mother. This is not a wife. You have to learn, sisters, today, tonight. Listen this. Take this message with you home. When you say to your husband, after this say, there are responsibilities. When you say yes, and you think that marriage is about wedding gown, marriage is about throwing the biggest party. It's not about that. It's about responsibility. You have to be responsible before him and before your kids.
And for some, also I have to mention this tonight. Some of you are married, alhamdulillah. Because we always tell you, you have to get married, you have to get married. This is the only time you listen to us. And you got married. Good. But some of you, your wives tells us, or tell us that, you don't come home, or you come home very late, you come home at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., sometimes at 5 a.m. When you get married, you have to realize you have a partner. And this partner, this wife, is not only in need for your money, huh? There is something more important than money. She is in need for yourself, for your soul, for your smile, for your companionship, for your sense of humor, for your heart. She's a human being. Don't think that by just giving the credit card to her, you're going to make her happy. Some women, of course, they get happy when they get money. But money is not everything. So you have to be responsible. Don't stay up until 5 a.m. with your friends in the coffee shops, in other places, and leave a human being at home waiting for you. This is a recipe for a disaster. This is a recipe for separation. When night falls, say to your friends, bye. I have someone waiting for me. Unless you are traveling, going somewhere else. Unless your wife is not with you that night, you may stay with your friends. But if your wife is at home, your wife is your priority. Don't leave your wife and spend the night with your friends outside. One more thing to go about marriage. And that is, in the marriage, sisters and brothers, you have to be moderate in your expectations. You have to lead a humble lifestyle. Marriage is not about an extravagant life. Marriage is not about a luxury life. Marriage is not about consumerism and materialism, spending your time in the malls and shopping centers. This is not marriage. Marriage is about raising generation. Marriage is about being humble. Never ever compare yourself to others. When you get married, whether you are a husband or a wife, do not compare yourself to other people around you. Don't burden your husband with things that he cannot handle. Don't overburden him with expenses, with demands that you know he's not going. You know he does not have the ability, the capacity. He doesn't have the money unless he goes and steals. You know why many people steal money? Not because he needs the money. He wants to respond to his wife's requests. She wants to wear elegantly, and he doesn't have the money. So either he does sell drugs, either he steals, cheats, fraud, and this is all haram. And this is exactly what the Prophet said, Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, at the end of the world, people are going to go to hellfire, not because of their enemies, because of their wives and their kids, because of their family members. They overburden them with financial responsibilities. They don't have the money. They're going to get the money from an illicit way, unlawful way. Do not overburden him. Don't compare yourself to others. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Don't. Do not covet what other people have. Be satisfied with what you have. الْقَنَاعَةُ كَنْزٌ لَا يَفْنَى. Be happy with the house that you have, with the car that you have, with the kids that you have, with the furniture that you have. Don't go every day visit someone and compare your house to her house. Don't do this. You would never be satisfied. Because if you have such trait, if you learn to compare yourself to others, people are different. People are more expensive. People are richer and richer. So where do you go? Even if you go to the Buckingham Palace,
you still go somewhere that is much more better than it. And you want to get that one, to obtain that one. Allah says, in the matters of dunya, look at those who are below you. انظر إلى من هو دونك. In the matters of the akhirah, look at those who are above you. Aspire what they have. In the matters of akhirah, look at those who are above you, who are doing much better than you. And let me conclude with one last thing. This is a request from a mother. A lady asked, why we are not allowed in Islam to have a boyfriend? Here in the West, everybody has a boyfriend and girlfriend. Why not us? What's wrong with it? I'm going to answer it very brief, in one sentence. Your boyfriend, who wants to be your friend, has only one intention in his mind. When he becomes your boyfriend, he has one intention in his mind. He doesn't want you to be his future wife. He does not want you to be the mother of his future kids. He wants you for one thing. He wants to enjoy your body. He wants to have physical gratification. This is the only thing he has in his mind. Don't look at him from outside. You have to read his mind. You have to read his mind. He is not intending for a permanent marital life. He's not. This is not his intention. Because when you examine the way he approached you, it was not an honorable way. It was not a good way. And in the marriage here, in the marriage in the Eastern culture, in the Islamic culture, when you want to get married with someone, you inform your parents first, whether you are male or female. So he has one thing in his mind. He wants to use you. He wants to turn you on and off whenever he feels like it. His urges oppresses him. He comes to you, Habibti, I miss you, Wallahi al-Azim, I miss you. I need you. Let's go tonight for dinner. And the day he feels full or he finds someone else in the street, you would never hear from him. He would not even bother himself to say bye to you or to call you. You call this a friend? This is not a friend. A friend is someone who looks for your interests, not his own interests. This is why there is no boyfriend or girlfriend in Islam. This is mistake. This is wrong. This is suffering. And those who did it, they regret it. If they realize. Some of them, they still don't realize. But when you realize, you regret that. And this is why your parents, when you become a father, you don't like this for your son. You don't like this for your daughter. The one who comes to you, asking you for a date, tell him the following. Tell him, would you accept this for your daughter tomorrow? Another man to ask her for a date, would you accept? If you accept this for your daughter, I'm ready to come with you tonight. He would say, no, I don't. Don't let him exploit you. أقول لك أعتقد صارت 400 صورة لحد الآن. يلا بعد كافي بعد. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. يلا حبيبي let's conclude. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. So, be careful. I tell you one thing. If you get to the age of marriage and you have genuine desire for partnership, someone who is permanent in your life, someone who stands with you forever, not a couple of months, forever, then the best thing is to inform your parents. And I don't think your parents will hesitate to say no to you. But don't go behind their back. Please don't do this. Sisters, you are my daughters. You are my sisters. I urge you not to be misled. Don't do this. Don't do this. I mentioned part of the reason yesterday, and I am going to mention it throughout these nights. Do not be misled or deceived. Boyfriend and girlfriend is not something to celebrate, especially for females. You are the first victims, emotionally and physically. You are the first victims, and you have to pay the price. Your mother is not going to help you. Your father is not going to help you. Your teacher, the social worker, are not going to help you. You're going to be the victims. Bear for a few years until you can establish the family. Because if your husband finds out many years later after marriage that you glanced, not that you dated, you glanced at someone else, he's not going to respect you. Your son is not going to respect you. Your daughter is not going to respect you. Preserve your history and your credit. Keep it clean. Tonight, let's go to one of the landmarks of Ashura. Who did not make it to Ashura? He did not make it to Karbala. But we remember him because of his values and because of his stands and because of his contributions. And this is Muslim ibn Aqil alayhi salam. Muslim alayhi salam, Safir al-Hussein, the first ambassador of Imam Hussein to the people of Iraq and Kufa. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam was in Mecca, he stayed in Mecca after leaving Medina. He stayed in Mecca for 120 days. While Imam Hussein was in Mecca, letters, hundreds of letters, some historians put them at 12,000. Some historians put them at 18,000. Some historians put them at 40,000 invitation letters received by Imam Hussein from different people, different communities in Kufa, mostly from Kufa, from Mada'in near Baghdad, from Basra, even from Yemen, as far as Yemen, calling on him to lead the movement against the unjust rule of Bani Umayyah. Imam Hussein was in Mecca. Not only letters, some delegates, groups of people came to Mecca to visit with him and ask him to lead this movement against Bani Umayyah, to come to Kufa, to come to Iraq. Imam Hussein, he was looking for someone sage, prudent, to assess the situation in Iraq before he leaves. And he could not find someone better than Muslim ibn Aqil, alayhi salam. Why Muslim? Muslim, number one, is the first cousin of Imam Hussein. Muslim is the son of Aqil. Aqil is the older brother of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. The older brother. This is number one, his first cousin. Number two, Muslim was raised and nurtured by Imam Ali in his house along with Hassan and Hussein alayhim assalam. So he was raised with Hassan and Hussein, and he made a close affinity with them. He understands them very well, and they do understand him very well. Aqil could not afford raising his kids. Aqil was too poor and impoverished. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, he sponsored some of his kids. One of them was Muslim alayhi salam. So he was raised with Hassan and Hussein. Imam Hussein, he says, this is my confidant. He's the favorite, والمفضل من أهل بيتي. I could not find a better ambassador than him to send him to assess the situation for me. Beside, Muslim was so pious, so noble man. يقول عنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقتل ابن عقيل في نصرة ولدي الحسين تدمع عليه عيون المؤمنين ويبكيه الملائكة المقربون. This is a prophecy. prophecy. Before it happened, the prophet prophesizing the future. The prophet is saying the son of Aqil, meaning Muslim, is going to be murdered for the cause of my grandson Hussein. The eyes of the believers, they drop tears for him. And the malaika, the angels, they are going to sob for his tragedy. This is Muslim. Imam Hussein summons him and asks him, Muslim, are you ready for this? He says, yes, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I'm ready to go and to report back to you about the situation in Iraq. So Muslim leaves his wife and his kids with Imam Hussein in Mecca. He goes to Medina. He bids farewell to his cousins and his family in Medina. He goes to the masjid, the mosque of the Prophet. He offers the prayers there. Wadda'a Rasulullah. Bids farewell to the Prophet. Farewell to the Prophet. And heads to the territory of Iraq. When he arrives in Kufa secretly, people embraced him with open arms. People welcomed him. This is Rasul al-Hussein. They've been waiting for Imam Hussein. يبنى رسول الله لقد أينعت الثمار وأعشبت الأرض وأخضر الجناب. The land has turned green. Flowers blossomed. Fruits ripened. We are waiting for you. إنما تقدم على جند لك مجندة. We are old armies and soldiers enlisted in your army. So come. About 18,000 people, they swore allegiance to Muslim to remain loyal soldiers for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So immediately he reports back. Amma ba'd fa inna ar-ra'ida la yakdhibu ahlahu wa laqad bay'ani min ahli al-Kufati 18,000 fa idha ja'aka kitabi fa'ajjil ilayna. O Aba Abdullah, 18,000 for the first day and first moment. You have followers here waiting for you to defend Islam and fight with your side against Bani Umayyah on your side. So come here, expedite your arrival into Kufa. Imam Hussein receives the letter and decides to go to Iraq. But to brothers and sisters, the reality is different. Imam Hussein knows that the people of Iraq at that time, قُلُوبُهُمْ مَعَكْ وَسُّيُوفُهُمْ عَلَيْكَ. Allah wants for this man whose name Hussein and his family members to go to Karbala to create something called Ashura, a perpetual resistance against tyranny. Had Imam Hussein been sitting in Medina, you would have gone to his grave in Baqiya and tell him, Assalamu alayka ya ibn Rasulullah, and then you turn and go back. But today, hundreds of thousands of people are heading to the land of Karbala. If you are not heading physically, your spirit is there. Your soul is there. Karbala is not only for us. And I am going to elaborate on this on the 10th, inshallah. It's not only for the Shia. Karbala is a source of inspiration for mankind, for all the freedom fighters, for all those who cherish humanity and freedom, freedom of thoughts, freedom of religion. Therefore, Muslim ibn Aqil was in the house, hiding in a house of Al-Mukhtar ibn Ubaid al-Thaqafi. Few days later, Yazid in Damascus, he realized that there is someone important in the city of Kufa. People are paying allegiance to him. He felt the danger, Yazid. So he deposed the governor of Kufa by the name of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir. He appointed Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad is one of the decorated murderer, ruthless, godless man, with a history of crimes against humanity. So he was transferred from Basra. He was in Basra to Kufa. He came to Kufa. He went to the masjid, Al-Jami' al-Kabir. He stood on the pulpit. He said, Ayyuhan Nas, if I hear anyone making alliance, any affiliation, any relationship with Muslim, his blood is free. And I am forewarning you against Muslim, against siding with Hussein and any members of his family. He threatened the people, intimidated them. Muslim ibn Aqil moved from house, the house of Al-Mukhtar, to the house of Hani ibn Urwah, one of the great companions of the Prophet and very close disciple من خواص أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام. A close disciple of Imam Ali عليه السلام. He went to his house. Again, because of the monitoring, because of espionage, they realized that Muslim is hiding in the house of Hani. Hani was arrested, detained by Ibn Ziyad. He was brought to the headquarter, قصر الإمارة, stood before Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad asked Hani to hand in Muslim to him. He said, "Wallahi, لو كان تحت قدمي هاتين ما رفعتهما عنه." You think it's easy to hand in Muslim to you? I would never do this. Even if you kill me. So he detained him. Muslim realized that Hani is in the detention. So he moved again from the house of Hani, but to where? To nowhere. He has no place to go. He had no place to go. He was a guest in Kufa. Originally, Muslim is born in Medina. He had never been to Iraq, to Kufa. Today, he is a total stranger. Where to go, he doesn't know. Those people who paid allegiance to him, there is no one to help him, to rescue him, to shelter him. So he started walking from one alleyway to another in the streets of Kufa. Until the dark, just before dark, he was so tired and he was so thirsty. He came to the house of an honorable lady, a noble lady by the name of Tawa. Very honorable lady. We remember her every year. Although she's not part of the family of Ahlul Bayt. But sisters, I want you to reflect on Tawa and ask about her. Why she became so important? Because of one stand. Because of one noble gesture. Because she hosted Muslim for one night. For a few hours, she opened her heart, her mind, her conscience for Muslim. She hosted him in her house. He stood there at the doorstep of Tawa. She opened the door. She realized there is a stranger there. She said, "Ya Abdullah, ماذا تريد? What do you want by standing here?" He said, "أنا عطشان, اسقني ماء." I am thirsty. Would you give me some water today? She said, yes. She brought him a cup of water. She gave it to him. She shuts the door. She comes back again. He's still sitting there. She became very suspicious. She said, "Ya Abdullah, alam tashrab al-ma?" Qala bala, "Yes, I did." "Fama li julusika ala atabati dari, innahu la yajuzu laka al-julus wa la uhilluhu lak." "I don't permit you, I don't give you permission. I'm not happy you are sitting here. I don't know you." At that moment, Muslim stood with a broken heart. He said to her, "Wallahi ya amat Allah, laysa li fi hadha al-masri ahlun wala ashir." I'm a lonely person. I'm alone. I have no shelter. I have nowhere to go. I have no supporter, no aid. She turned to him. She said, "Can you identify yourself to me?" He said, "Ya amat Allah, ana Muslim ibn Aqil. أنا سفير الحسين إلى أهل الكوفة. انقطع به الدرب ذيك المسية وصل بيت ونده راعي الحمية. يا هل هالبيت ما عدكم أمية، ترى من العطش قلب انفطر نصية. طلعت للعفيفة وسقت الماي وقالت قوم شنهي قعدتك هاي. لا تقعد يا عقلي ونور عيناي روح الهلك قلي شاهلك وين ونونا يتقطع من هالفاد يا هالحرة هلي ما هم بالبلاد. I have no one here. I have no relatives, no family. I am lonely. I am the ambassador of Ahl al-Bayt to you. At that moment, this honorable lady, she opened the door for him. She said, if you are Muslim, if you are the ambassador of Imam Hussein, this is your house, this is your place. Ahlan wa sahlan. She opened the room for him. He stayed the night in her house. She provided him with some food. He refused to eat. He only drank some water at that night. And he spent the whole night in communion, salat and dua with Allah. He realized, Muslim realized that this is the last night of his life. This is the last night of his life and the very first night where he is going to meet with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He took a brief nap. In his sleep, he saw in his dream, he saw Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam. يقول له أنت مقبل علينا غدا. You are going to join us soon, ya Muslim. You are going to be with us in a few hours from now. At dawn, the army, the troops surrounded the house of Tawa. He stood, he fought very bravely. Until they captured him, they wounded him, they handcuffed him, and they brought him to Ibn Ziyad in Qasr al-Imara. He stood before Ibn Ziyad, he chided him, reprimanded him, and he ordered him to be beheaded, to be taken to the terrace, to the rooftop, and beheaded there. When they took Muslim alayhi salam to the terrace, he turned to the direction of Mecca al-Mukarrama, where Imam Hussein alayhi salam was still there. He said, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya ibn al-am ya Aba Abdullah. Historians say Imam Hussein was sitting with his companions. He's in Mecca. Imam Hussein suddenly he stood. He said, "Wa alayka as-salam ya Muslim ibn Aqil." Imam realized that Muslim is to be headed. And then after that, Imam went to his family. The wife of Muslim is the sister of Imam Hussein. Her name is Ruqayyah al-Sughra. She had some babies. One of them is Hamid, a small little daughter, a cute daughter. So Imam Hussein went into the quarter, the other quarter, and he took Hamid. He took her into his arms. He embraced her. He kissed her. She turned to him. She said, عم أراك تصنع بما يصنع بالأيتام. Why are you doing this to me? Am I orphan? Where is my father? Imam turned to her. He said, حبيبتي أنا أبوك وبناتي أخواتك. She started crying. She turned to Imam Hussein, she said, والله يا عم أتدري مما أبكي والله يا عم إني لا أبكي لأبي وإنما أبكي مخافة أن تقتل فأصبح يتيمة الأبي والعم. You know why I am weeping now? I am not weeping for my father. You are the best father for me. You are the best uncle for me. You are the best family. But I know soon you're going to be killed, and then I am going to lose my father and my uncle too. De gelli ya ammi boy wa ana min zaman ma bayan alayna. De gelli ya ammi boy wa ana min zaman ma bayan alayna. ولا خبر من عدة يجينا لو دار وعليه من يعينا فيا ابن عقيل انفدتك النفوس
تجلس لعظم رزيتك الفادحة بكت كدما يا ابن عم الحسين مدامع شيعتك السافحة لأنك لم تروى من شربة ثناياك فيها غدت طائحة رموك من القصر إذ أوثقوك فهل سلمت فيك من جارحة نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله. Raise your hand, raise your hands, brothers and sisters. This is the moment of dua. This is the moment where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would look at us with the eyes of compassion and mercy and forgiveness. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله. إلهنا بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم اجعل كلمة الإسلام هي العليا وكلمة أعداء الإسلام وأعداء الدين وأعداء أهل البيت هي السفلى. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا فنتبعه والباطل باطلا فنجتنبه. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة الحسين وفي الآخرة شفاعة الحسين وجد الحسين عليهما السلام وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. وبلغ اللهم أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.